Hello and welcome to We Were Hit by a Horse Truck and Got Isekai'd into Equestria. I'm your host, the beloved Graceful Spark. With me as always is my darling co-host, Spilled Beans. How you doing today, Beans?
Oh, I'm doing a lot better now that I'm not, you know, coughing up a lung. But...
yeah. Darn smoke.
Such is life. Yeah. I mean, before we got hit by that truck, like, we were in, you know, the northwestern North America, so, like, having smoke everywhere is... almost reminded me of home for a bit.
Yeah, a little nostalgic.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice to have cool new problems, such as smoke coming from dragon instead of smoke coming from ecological disaster.
Yeah. Yeah, in this one, the smoke is a metaphor rather than literally ecological disaster.
Yeah.
But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, and speaking of, dear listener, today we are talking about Season 1, Episode 7, Dragon Shy, directed by, same folks as always, written by Chris Savino, original air date, November 19th, 2010, original mare date, to be determined.
Do we find out the dragon is trans? Is that what we're saying? Or
I think even if the dragon was trans, it wouldn't be a mare. Unless it's could be a horse dragon. Some dragons is horse. Right?
Some dragons am horse. I have heard of Kirin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I suppose some dragons could be playing a horse on TV.
This sounds like you're referencing an early, like a later episode I have not seen.
I wouldn't say that, dear.
Okay. And I mean, like, do we know what the female word for dragon is? Maybe that is a mare. I don't know.
I don't know if there's really gendered words for the different sexes of dragon.
Is it because no one bothered to ask, or is it because they don't care? This is the big question. Like, they as in the dragons don't care.
I mean, if I met a dragon, I wouldn't be like, so, you know, do you have a word for, like, top or bottom, but for dragons?
I mean, like, maybe not, like, the first discussion, but, like, if I met an alien species back in human world, and, like, got chatting with one, I'm sure at some point the conversation would be like, hey, so like
how do you make new ones?
Yeah, like how do you do new ones? You got the we have this thing called sex that a lot of people have very conflicting opinions on. How does that work for you guys?
Yeah, we have set. Do you also have some kind of sex situation, or are you, do you have like a Gallifreyan situation where your penises got cursed by a witch and now you have to use genetic looms to have kids? Is it like that?
That could be like...
And they're like, no, we reproduce by budding. Or like, no, it's just us. Like, you know, we don't die or anything. Yeah, we just keep going.
Oh, man. That sounds like the most anxiety-producing lifestyle. They could also, like, produce by osmosis or, yeah, like... I know there's at least one species of spider that, like, the male just passes the female some sperm with their pedipalps, which is like the bits on their faces.
Yeah.
It's a weird interaction about how this man masturbates on his own face and then hands it off to a woman to use. Yeah, it's a weird way to fuck, but you know what?
It's called snowballing, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Spiders snowball for pregnancy's sake.
Yeah. Anyways.
Mm-hmm.
We open with Fluttershy having a time with Angel Bunny, who is just being a real brat about eating his food.
After feeding ferrets, she heads under the bridge in front of her house. Like, she feeds them some, like, fish, and also feeds some random birds some worms. Like, Fluttershy, do you just adopt, like, orphaned animals? Is that the job you do?
She's certainly friends with a lot of animals in the meadow.
Yeah, but, like, birds, like, baby birds generally don't accept food from anyone other than their parents.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, these birds are, like, bonded to Fluttershy as their mom?
Look, if there's one thing Fluttershy's, like, whole thing is about, I think it's that she can bring worms to birds and have it be fine.
Yeah. I mean, I'm more being like, hey, does Fluttershy run at fucking animal orphanage? Which, yeah. Like, I'm, like, I realize I introduced that as a very sarcastic way, but, like, I'm actually really into that. That's a really good, like, hi, if I need a druid character for fucking D&D or something at some point, you know that I'm gonna be making a fucking druid horse that is basically Fluttershy.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not playing at a table with her. That would be awkward.
Yeah. Who knows, maybe now that we're dead, we can play good tabletop games. Anyways, welcome to Princess Grace's D&D Takes.
Don't worry, I'm in agreement with you.
At least now we don't have to deal with Wizards of the Coast existing. There may actually be actual wizards on actual coasts, but I think I would prefer that.
Yeah, I'm sure there's several, like, yeah, there's like Manhattan and stuff. There's got to be a few unicorns there. Those are wizards on coasts.
I remember a couple years back in, you know, the human realm, there was a news article going around that called, like, Wizards Shutting Down Game Stores for whatever, whatever. And it was talking about Wizards of the Coast, but I imagine these, like, dudes in pajamas and long beards, like, ah, you get out of there. It's a mockery to what I do for a living. I'll punk on your house.
Yeah.
You give me back my orb right now.
Observe my orb.
Merklinor, we kicked you out because you kept showing off your orb. No one wants to see it. Anyways.
Yes.
Angel's
just a piece of shit. Angel has gone from being Fluttershy's morality familiar to just being, like, an abusive piece of shit.
Yeah. Angel is, let's just say the name is supposed to be ironic, right?
Yeah.
Like, he is, you know, Fluttershy's dick, don't eat so fast, he just does not want to eat this carrot anymore. It seems exhausting, to be honest.
Yeah, having had some history of kind of abusive partners. I don't like Angel.
Yeah, like, Angel, perhaps I'll change my mind as this goes on, but Angel really seems like he's taking advantage of Fluttershy's kindness a lot.
Yep. And as soon as Fluttershy shows a kind of compassion that Angel does not want to receive, Angel just decides to say no to everything Fluttershy tries to do until Fluttershy just stops being the one trying to push options and asks for Angel's input instead.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting playbook Angel is working from.
Yeah, it's not good. Don't like to see it.
Yeah.
But so, this all ends when we see some evil black smoke blowing over the town, and Fluttershy is trying to tell everyone about it, and they don't listen to her because she's too quiet. Because
she's a fucking ghost.
Yeah.
No one even notices she's running around looking upset. Like, although in her running around in the park trying to get people's attention, as is my grim task, I must inform you that we have multiple loaf spottings, all of them of new loaves to add to the list. So I haven't figured out good loaf names for them yet. We got Berry Punch, Apple Dazzle, and Shoeshine, who is sharing a bench with Lyra.
Curious.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how to approach Lyra about this. Has Lyra been isekai'd and we don't know? But, like, she's sitting like a human might do, like a real slouch, like a real real bad slouch, but, like, did she get isekai'd in here too?
The fan theory back in the day was that she was something of a human truther.
Okay, but, like, if I believe
a humaboo.
If I was, like, yeah. But, like,
fingaboo, if you will.
Yeah, but, like, if I was a Sasquatch truther or whatever, right? Like, I would not nakedly walk through the forest like a Sasquatch do. Why is being a human truther the reason why you sit like a person might do? And, like, it's definitely bad for your back to sit like that, human or horse. Like,
look, there's a couple reasons, right? One is, these benches aren't wide enough for two ponies to loaf. Right? She's doing it to make room.
That's fair.
And B.
Yeah, wow, the city ordinance should really get us some better benches.
Yeah. And B, if you had a human Sona, wouldn't it be validating or at least fun to sit upright every now and again?
Yes. Sitting upright is a really weird way of describing the super slouch that she does, but yes.
I like
it. I see where you're coming from.
It's sitting upright compared to a loaf.
Yes. Yeah, it's... I am far more into she has a humasona rather than being a human truther, just because, I don't know, trutherism is already like a weird thing, and just because you believe something's true that isn't, or whatever, doesn't inherently mean you should act like it. I don't know, I'm getting way off on a tangent that doesn't matter. Hey, My Little Pony fandom from 10 years ago, you fucking suck. Come up with better theories. This is me attacking humans that I can no longer interact. Oh shit, wait, no, I run the Twitter.
Yeah,
oh,
they can hear this podcast.
Look, if you were one of the boys who came up with a bad theory back then, I want two things. I want one, your new theory, and two, your new name and pronouns, because I would prefer to not dead name you.
Mm-hmm. And if you're out there, email us at horse@hypnovar.us or holler at us on Twitter.
Yeah.
So Fluttershy's trying to get everyone's help. They don't listen to her. Instead, mm-hmm. Rainbow Dash is trying to bounce a ball a bunch. Fluttershy slams into Pinkie Pie's ass at maximum speed.
Because Pinkie Pie, before Rainbow Dash even breaks the ball bouncing record, Pinky's already running off to start a party, which, I mean, it's Pinky's response to everything.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. Yeah, Fluttershy just goes straight into her ass because she stops to try and count all the ponies and throws off Rainbow Dash's count.
Yep, and there's a thing that is not good to look at, which is Rainbow Dash loses count, she lets the ball drop and catches it under her wing.
Yeah! Yeah, I made a note of that, too.
It is not quite the most egregious wing hand we'll see in the show's run, but it is an early example of some bad wing handery. Ugh.
Yeah, like, this one at least makes some sense, because, like, it's an inflatable ball, so if you just kind of wrap a wing over it, you can kind of hold it in place, but yeah. It is definitely not a great look.
Yeah, yeah, and then... After this, we do see Lyra and Bon Bon standing together.
Oh, good. Yeah. All right. Excellent.
Yeah. So I theorize Lyra was simply waiting for Bon Bon to show up.
Okay. But, just hanging out with one of her other friends. I get it.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. Cute couple.
Hmm.
And then Twilight shows up and says, "Hey, there's some bad smoke happening." And everyone listens to her.
I appreciate that my note for this just said, "Oh, good. A main character is here."
So she's like, "I just got a letter from Princess Celestia saying the smoke is from a dragon,
not a forest fire."
Yeah,
thankfully, Smokey Bear, you can stay in the Everfree Forest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, but unfortunately, that smoke will cover Equestria for 100 years if we don't go wake up that dragon and convince him to move. They keep calling the dragon him. Which is weird because none of them have seen this dragon. It's weird that they assume he's a dude, but that is what the show seems to think.
This is some of that deep lore that I'm sure we'll only find out later, that male dragons are the ones that breathe smoke and fire and stuff. Wait a second. What if male dragons breathe smoke and female dragons breathe fire? And Spike is a trans mask legend.
No,
that's reaching. That's reaching really far. Look, I just want more trans mask representation.
Yeah.
Because, like, trans girls at least get some very bad, but at least some representation in a lot of media. When do we get just some cool trans boys being around and just doing shit?
Mm-hmm. One of these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this dragon is damn this bitch sleepy. And as soon as Twilight says this, they're all the ponies get together in Twilight's library. Well, all the ponies who matter get together in Twilight's library, and Rabbit is like, "Yeah, woo! We'll give him the boot. We'll kick him. That'll show him."
Yeah, Rainbow Dash is that weird, like, sitting in the air thing that is concerning that she does. Because it's not a good pose. Unless she really just wants to flash all her friends, which does seem to be fitting her character.
Yep.
And she starts fighting a little carved bust of a horse like it's a dragon.
Yeah, and Twilight has to get out of the way so Rainbow doesn't knock it over. And then Twilight says something and Rainbow Dash salutes her. And this was another very popular vector back in the day.
Yeah, Rainbow Dash is very quickly on board with falling into a military approach to how to address this. And like the other ponies in the room all kind of like get up on their hind legs in the same position as what, like, this seems like perhaps there was some training involved that we don't want to talk about.
Yeah, like, Rainbow Dash, her whole thing is that she wants to be a troop. She wants to join the Wonderbolts, which they're a combination between Top Gun and the Blue Angels. Like, they are the closest Equestria really has to troops.
Oh, are you telling me the Wonderbolts are the top angels?
I don't think there's such a thing as a top angel. I think they're all bottoms.
This is the giant concentric rings of eyeballs and wings and an eternal flame. It will blush when you call it cute.
They are created exclusively to sing their god's praises. That's a bottom, look, baby.
That's fair. All I'm gonna say is Satan wanted some free will, and man, don't we all want that?
That's right, folks. Satan was a brat who became a switch.
Look, if there is any character in the Bible who deserves some fucking praise, it's Satan for standing up to a really shitty asshole in charge of everything who made the world in his own image because he fucking wanted to. I got lots of takes about the Bible. Uh-huh. But we don't need to worry about that. We're horses now.
Yeah.
God can't touch me.
Well,
Celestia's in the way.
Yeah, unfortunately, our new horse gods are much more present.
Yes, but they are far less assholes.
Yeah. Funny how that works.
Like, I don't think I could ever see Celestia, like, turning a person into a pillar of salt because they looked behind them.
Yeah. She just imprisoned her sister in the moon for 1,000 years.
If you believe the story, because her sister tried a coup. Which, okay. But also, like, they are immortal beings. So maybe 1,000 years isn't so bad. I realize, like, I'm kind of flipping to pro-Celestia here when usually I'm pro-Luna, but, like...
Yeah, you can be an apologist, I get it. She's listening.
Yeah.
Brown noser.
And, like, look.
Scoring points with the princess, I get it.
What?
She's not gonna fuck you, dear.
I was scoring points with Princess Grace before we got isekai'd here.
Yeah.
And I know you'll fuck me.
Yes, correct.
One out of three princesses I've brown-nosed for. That's 33%. That's not too bad, actually.
The odds are in your favor.
Yeah, like, those aren't bad odds. anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, so blah, 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 100 years of smoke. And Twilight's like, okay, everyone, go get ready. And, and so we see Rainbow Dash get ready by going back to her rainbow cloud house. She, puts her hooves in, like, a rainbow river, spears it under her eyes. Like, it's supposed to be, like, eye black or, like, war paint, but it's just red, white, and green, so it looks like the Italian flag.
Nah, it's yellow in the middle there. That's a Bolivian flag, baby. She puts on some Bolivian war paint.
Really, that makes more sense. It looked like a light yellow to me. Like, I thought margarita pizza.
Yeah, like, it's definitely a fairly light yellow, but it's...
Yeah, rainbows don't have white in them.
Exactly. Like, it's also, like, a yellow we've seen the animators use before for, like, paper and stuff.
Yeah.
As opposed to white. I'm... If there's one person who's going to find the line between where color becomes yellow instead of white, it's me, the artist in the podcast.
In that case, congratulations, Rainbow Dash, for fighting on behalf of Bolivia.
Right?
I'm sure they'll appreciate it.
Don't worry, next time we see her, it's already gone, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, she does that and gets into a cool pose, and it was, like... repeated shadow shape thing, that was diegetic for you too, right? Like, you actually saw that?
Yeah.
That wasn't just me? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I tried to get it to happen for myself, but the camera wasn't looking at me.
Yeah. It's a shame.
Yeah. I did this whole thing. I tried, you know, looked like I was getting ready for the mountain trip. I packed my stuff up. I did a little pose. It didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like kind of a dork, to be honest.
I mean, you're a cute dork, though.
Uh-uh. Correct.
We see Applejack. Like, Twilight was putting some books in a saddlebag that had her cutie mark on it.
Yeah.
Rainbow Dash didn't have one of those bags. Applejack had some bottles of apple juice.
Yep.
I guess.
Yeah, and some apples, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked like Big Mac was having some trouble lifting that bag onto her back, and it looked like she was not expecting the amount of weight it was.
Yeah.
So, that's a whole existence there.
Yeah,
and she gets into...
Getting ready.
She gets the cool pose gradient thing.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Yeah. Dear, I think we're gonna have to come to grips with not being the main characters in this world.
God, I know. I even paid Rarity for some matching bags.
Aw.
Like,
they're good bags, Beans.
I know, right? And it seemed like they're very good bags. We quite like them. Mm-hmm. It's where I kept my notebook for the entire fucking trip up the mountainside.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I'm doing an ad spot for Rarity's saddlebags, but here we are. Speaking of, guess who's next on the list, right? I'm sorry. Pinkie Pie.
Yeah, who just has a bunch of balloons and such in her bags.
Yeah, yeah, okay, alright, Pinkie
Pie. And I guess they're wired to explode. Like, there's the party poppers or something in there that just kind of... It seems like she blows out a sign and it sends balloons flying everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, it's a... Alright, I don't know why her entire bag is just always full of balloons now, but okay.
And
then we get to Rarity.
Yeah, who, like, she has, like, a... You know, a hard hat with camo paint covered in, like, twigs and stuff. And then she's like...
Yeah,
Like a World War I.
As best as I can tell... No, not World War One. That's a Vietnam-era M1 American helmet.
There we go.
Possibly World War II, but probably Vietnam. Because
yeah.
World War II, if they had camo on them, it was applied by the soldiers themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas... The Vietnam ones had a standard pattern.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know a lot of weird trivia.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, she looks at herself, she's like, oh, this won't do. Then she comes back with this nice, like, kind of sun hat.
Yeah, it's like a little kind of pointed witchy sun hat with like a nice, like rose on the side of it with a, like, the rose and feather sticking out of the rose are really weird color combination with the, like,
and the hat itself
faux
is camo. Yeah,
it's
a weird hat.
Like, the helmet was real camo. Like, the hat isn't any form of traditional camo pattern at all. Like, it's definitely like a fashiony sort of thing that's kind of styled to look like camo, but it isn't.
Yeah,
again, I know a lot of really weird trivia, but yeah.
And then you get to Fluttershy, who's wearing like a football helmet and a bunch of pads and such, and she is just fucking terrified.
Yeah, I could never imagine Fluttershy actually playing football.
Yeah.
I can't imagine ponies in general playing football, let alone, like, a Pegasus and, like, Earth ponies playing football at the same time, and it's like a unicorn on the helmet, but, like, the helmet doesn't have a hole for where a unicorn horn would stick out of. Like, it's a... It was an emotionally baffling outfit to see her in, because it raised so many questions.
Look, Fluttershy would not play football, but
no,
I think she would have a helmet on hand for situations like this, where she needs to build herself some armor.
Yeah, it just feels weird that she's in, like, sports armor for sports she'd never play.
Sure, but if you're going to buy, like, you know, hard clothing, you know, padding and such, and helmets. The best stuff you could probably buy on short notice would be sporting goods, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But, like, yeah, I guess. I was thinking, like, you could just get Twilight to, like, write a letter to Celestia for some, like, some of that golden, like, guard armor shit. That's probably some pretty good stuff, but...
That would require Fluttershy to talk to Twilight, ask her, and, you know... Twilight says they have, like, an hour to get ready or something. Yeah, there's a time crunch.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, there's problems.
Yeah, it also doesn't matter because no pony has the things they're wearing when they meet up later on.
Oh, I mean,
they have their bags, but they
kind of sometimes it changes, like it sporadically flickers, like second to second, whether a pony has her bag on or not. It's honestly a little frustrating how much like those bags just flicker in and out of existence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I've been noticing the same with your bags, dear. That sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not.
Yeah,
they just don't want to, you know, put them on you all the time, or like you're climbing a mountain and it looks like they would slide off. They just whoop.
Yeah,
convenience, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's part of Rarity's magic. Is that like if the bag's not needed, it's not. Maybe we should test that after the podcast. See if like the bag is only around when you actually. Oh, maybe it's when the wearer is thinking about the bag is when it's present. Because if you just forget about the bag, it just stops being there. That'd be really interesting.
Yeah, it'd be handy. I'd want to study that.
Yeah, that sounds like some good magic. Yeah, well, we got a pair of them, right? We can go check later.
Yeah. We learned that the dragon's on top of this really big, sharp mountain. Like, it's... This is a... This is a... you're using the terrain tools in SimCity and just build one relatively, like, small in circumference mountain that just goes as high up as you can get it.
I mean, that one, like, photo that was taken of us when we first got into Equestria, I'm so curious how that ended up being our thumbnail for the podcast and everything, but, like...
That was a thumb.
Oh, fuck. Hoofnail. No, that's not...
No?
Yeah. Icon. There we go.
Yeah.
But, like... Even Equestria, not Equestria, Canterlot itself is, like, on the side of one of these giant mountains.
Yeah.
Like, we can just step outside, and if you look to the south, we got, like, a few of those just crazy SimCity mountains you're talking about.
Well, like, Canterlot feels like it's at least on, like, a wider mountain or part of a range, right? This one is just, like, freestanding, sticking straight up with no other mountains around it.
Oh, there are a few of those around here. It's a little upsetting.
Yeah.
The geology of this place is just is still very scary.
What do the plate tectonics look like? Yeah.
Maybe it's just horses under there. Maybe it's just giant
earth ponies pushing up.
Yeah. It's like the titans of Greek myth. That's just down there, just titan ponies. Bumping flanks, and that's what earthquakes are?
You never know.
Oh no, does that mean that mountains are their dicks? Oh, maybe some of them are unicorns, and mountains are their horns. Oh, I don't like this weird place we're going.
Yeah, I will simply choose to believe. I thought I would come up with something good as soon as I finished that sentence. I will simply choose to believe that Equestria is tectonically active in some very bizarre directions.
Yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit about the weirdness of, like, celestial cycles as well, so. Who fucking knows? It's a weird world of a children's cartoon we got teleported into. Yeah.
We do kind of live in the part of a geology textbook that, like, yeah, there's, like, a house in the middle, and then there's, you know, a volcano, an archipelago, you know, a canyon, a plateau, all, you know, within one picture.
Yeah, it's a little concerning.
Yeah. When you're looking at this big old mountain, Rainbow Dash talks about how it's colder the higher up you get. Rarity, fortunately, has a scarf.
Yes. A very nice, but transparent scarf, so probably not too warm.
Yeah. And, Fluttershy doesn't want to go. Twilight's like, oh, come on. Like, your thing is dealing with animals. We're going to want you.
Yeah. Like, the thing is, and this is very important to keep in mind for later, is, like, Twilight is looking at her very strange map, and Fluttershy comes up and is like trying to talk to Twilight about the fact that like she doesn't want to go and she's too fucking scared, and just is like, Twilight's not even listening and just saying like a shitty friend.
Yeah.
And Fluttershy's like, you should probably just leave me behind, I'll just stay here and the rest of you can go. And Twilight's like, and Fluttershy just is like, oh good, so I don't have to come, so I can just leave, I'm just gonna go deal with the like small animals that are, you know, having trouble because there is smoke in the air.
Mm-hmm.
But no, apparently Twilight has already decided Spike's dealing with that.
Yeah.
Without asking Fluttershy or having Spike learn anything about the animals he's about to be taken care of.
Yeah, and so he spends the rest of the episode just, like, getting clowned on by Angel Bunny.
Yeah, yeah, Angel just fucking dabs on Spike. At one point, we see, like, a ferret running away from him as well. I don't know. The animals don't like Spike.
Yeah, and then Rainbow Dash kind of pulls Twilight aside, like, are you sure you want to bring Fluttershy? She's literally afraid of her own shadow, which we see. We see her getting scared by her own shadow and falling backwards into a bush.
Yeah, I can't believe she almost fell on top of me.
Uh-huh.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know you want Fluttershy to step on you, dear, but now's not really the time.
That was the bush I was hiding in at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Look, it gave me a good look at her butt. Okay, fine. Shut up.
How was it?
Look, all I'm just gonna say is maybe my heart was a little fluttery, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, like, if Fluttershy is so scared of even her own shadow, how'd they even talk her into going to the Everfree Forest in episode 2? How did she not just, like, pass out and do the fainting goat thing that she does later in this episode with, like, when the trees get scary?
Yeah. I guess we get it later where we find out she's specifically afraid of dragons. Everything else is fine. It's just dragons.
And her own shadow.
Yeah.
And so many other things. Is that, like...
Yeah,
this episode does the thing that I hate so many shows do, and it's not just kids shows, like a lot of shows will do this, of just like, we have a character who has like a trait that's kind of important to who they are, and then like this is gonna be an episode where we really address it, so we just dial that trait to 11 so like everyone knows, but it means the character is like, in this case, is like Fluttershy is a bit of a scaredy cat, scaredy pony.
Yeah,
cool, fine. But, like, that is dialed up in such an extreme for this episode.
Yeah, like, how does she function if she is literally afraid of her own shadow? The charitable reading is that, like, you know when, like, you're afraid of doing something later, you're anxious or worried about something later, it's all you can think about? Like, having to deal with this dragon has her fear response turned all the way up. But it's still, like, how do you function, Fluttershy? Come on. Like... Most of the screen time of this episode is, you know, dealing with the fact that Fluttershy is this afraid of what's about to happen.
And is this afraid of, like, everything.
Yeah.
Like, we have a rock slide in episode 2 and this episode, and Fluttershy is less scared of that rock slide than this. And, like, they're going to deal with fucking Nightmare Moon then. I'm gonna be honest, Nightmare Moon seems fucking scarier. Like, Satan seems a little scarier than a dragon. I realize they're both horrifying, but, like...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like, the reasonable... Well, I guess the only reading that makes this make sense is Fluttershy specifically has a phobia of dragons.
But she was so excited to see Spike at the first point, and they even called that out later, but...
Spike's a baby. Yes. It's different.
Okay, yeah. But if you have, like, a fear of, say... spiders. That is to the point where even thinking about spiders makes everything else so much more horrifying. Seeing a baby spider is not going to be helpful.
Baby, like, spiders can't talk and be, you know, they're not cute and capable of talking like Spike is, right? Oh, well, I can see
I don't know. I don't know how else to do this analogy, but like, yeah. Like,
yeah, if you were afraid of dogs, right, you would probably find a puppy less scary than a big snarling, you know, rabid scary dog, right?
But the difference is, big rabid snarling scary dog makes you so scared that, like, everything else is just instantly super scary now. Like, even just thinking about that snarly dog. Like, being that scared of dogs. And then just like, oh, it's a puppy, so that's fine.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Like, I know people who have that kind of level of football, not, like, that extreme of fear of dogs, but like they don't like puppies either, because puppies turn into those dogs, and like looking at the puppy, you know it will become an adult dog, so you're scared of the puppy.
Yeah,
like that's how that fear works.
Yeah.
Like, and from some personal experience, puppies are almost always worse than fully grown dogs.
Puppies can still bite is the thing.
Yeah, and puppies are generally also far more energetic and like don't know better, So we'll bite, and we'll bite in ways that, like, they might hurt themselves, too. And, like, that's not great. Mm. Hi, we had to... My family, when we were growing up, we always got, like reject seeing eye dog, yeah. like, trainee dogs. And one of the ones we got we once got a puppy instead of one of those. And, fuck, that puppy was a goddamn monster. So, like, a few episodes we talked about me having a theory that, like, the stuff we see on screen, like, the humans back yeah. in the real world who are listening to our podcast and can go watch the episodes, that stuff has writers involved. Yeah. Like, the ponies we talk to and, like, we can go and have, like, friendships and stuff with are kind of taken over by the plot of the episodes mm-hmm. as we watch them. So, like, Fluttershy's fear here is not how she normally is. She is this scared in this episode because the writers need her to be.
Right.
And when she is, like, even the scenes, like, the times we were following them and, like the stuff that, like, the show montage threw that we couldn't, like, the only stuff we see where she is a problem to her friends in this progress is the stuff we see in the show. Like, the stuff between, she's fine.
I mean, there was that whole time when off-screen Applejack had to drag her up the mountain.
I mean, okay, yes, but that's because she was fucking passed out like a fainting goat the entire time from events that happened on screen.
Like, yes, the only reason she's acting like this is because that's what the plot of the episode needs. Like,
yes. We had this discussion. Yeah. You know where my theory on this stands. Yeah. But yeah. Anyway, we get the first time of her having the... I think we're a little chronologically fucked at this point, but, like, she has the, like, oh man, it's so, like, it's so blank, and Rainbow Dash has the, duh, it's a, like, whatever, like, the, oh, it's so tall, duh, it's a mountain, mm-hmm. oh, it's so steep, duh, it's a cliff, like, yeah. As much as Rainbow Dash is just a complete asshole this episode, that's a good running bit.
Yeah, 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 what else would it be? Yeah. So we get, like, you know, we get Fluttershy being afraid of the dragon snoring, we get they go to the mountain, and we get Rainbow Dash like, okay, like, I'll see up there, I'll fly up to the top and see what it's like, and Applejack grabs her by the tail and pulls her back down, like, no, like, we should walk together, safety in numbers.
Which, yeah. Good call.
Yeah. And then, yeah, they're walking up the mountain, and I wrote here, no fun Twilight. Yeah, they're trying to enjoy themselves, like, make jokes about the dragon, and,
Rarity wants those fancy jewels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Twilight's like, no, no talking, only walking right now.
Mm-hmm. And that's where, right about when we find out that Fluttershy hasn't started going up the mountain, and she's like, oh, it's too steep, and they're like,
mm-hmm.
Fluttershy, please, you can fly! And then she tries to fly, that her wings just stop working. She's too scared.
Yeah, another dragon snore, like, snaps the wings against her side, she goes plummeting the ground, and then, like, she is on the ground, actively fighting to try and get her wings to open. Like, even elements on screen where the writer kind of takes over the pony's body for a bit, we see her fighting with the fact that she is not actually, like, the level of fear she has versus the level of fear the story needs her to have are not the same thing. Like, she is trying to get her wings open again. Like, she's trying to actually go with her friends. Against the fucking writer's desire.
Mm-hmm.
So, they have to hit her again with a bigger fear and turn her into a fainting goat.
Yeah. That's the weird thing for this episode, is that, like, despite it really being about Fluttershy, well, I don't know. She has agency, and that she does things that affect the course of the story, but it's...
Yeah.
It
always, like, until the end, like, any of her agency always feels like the story is intentionally ignoring her attempts to have agency.
Yeah.
Like, the joke about her that I made about her being a ghost at the start. Like, she was clearly distressed. She was clearly trying to talk. All these ponies know Fluttershy is kind of a quiet person. Like...
Yeah.
And she doesn't... Two episodes with Gilda, like, her response to this party's being thrown by someone who fucking was abusive to me was to, like, quietly try and be like, oh, no, it's not a problem, I'll talk about this later, it's fine. And, like, she's not the kind of pony to cry wolf. So if she's distressed and trying to get people's attention, like, people should know to listen to her.
Yeah. It's, like, the entire way up the mountain is frustrating because it's like...
Yeah.
I think it would be better if we got, like, I know, some kind of indication the Fluttershy wanted to go up there. But at every turn, she's like, ah, I want to leave. I want to go home. Oh, I can't.
Yeah.
Like, it would be nice if, like, we got some evidence that she was trying to face her fear, you know, for her friends or, like, for the good of Equestria, but...
I think the only time we actually really get to see that, like, I realize I'm deciding that I really want to push this angle of, like, the fiction of the story overrides the will of these ponies, because it really seems like it does. Like, the stories do not tell a consistent pony, as we've pointed out with Fluttershy's fear level. Like, she's trying to get her wings to open so she can fly and be with her friends. Before the whole fainting goat thing and Applejack having to drag her up the hill. Which, by the way, damn, Applejack's an extremely good friend the entire way through this episode. Like, she never smack talks Fluttershy the entire way through this, even when everyone else is being shitty to her about it.
Yeah, if
Applejack is the best friend.
Yeah, if nothing else, Applejack knows very well, if you can't say something nice, don't say it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Which maybe isn't maybe always a good policy, but here it works for her.
Yeah. And, like, Applejack seems to, like, care. The rest of them don't.
Yeah.
The rest of them do not care about their friend who that they're close enough friend to that they can kill Moon God with rainbow lasers.
Yeah.
Like, they don't care about this friend enough to even, like, try and talk to her without talking down to her.
Yeah.
Applejack at least is like, hey, I get it. Like,
yeah.
Like, we gotta go.
Yeah.
But, like, at least, like, trying to talk a very, like, you and I, we need to go, not a, like, you need to come with us.
Yeah, like, everyone treats her like a burden, except for Applejack, who literally carries her up the mountain.
Yeah.
Who does not.
Applejack is the best friend.
Yeah.
She is just the like, she even got a fucking medal for it, like, award for it.
Yeah.
She fucking deserves it. But, like, fuck.
Yeah. Like, yeah, like, we see everyone else's, every pony else. What happens is Fluttershy faints. Applejack's like, here, I'll take her the long way around. Y'all climb up, we'll catch up. And we come across, you know, every pony else is, Rarity and Pinkie Pie are playing tic-tac-toe together.
Yeah, there's a Rarity loaf that is playing tic-tac-toe.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, like, we've repeatedly said that, like, a loaf needs to be, like, relaxed, and she seems a little frustrated at the time.
Yeah, but
so, like,
but she does smile when she's like, oh, best of 73.
71, yeah. Somehow she lost 35 games of tic-tac-toe in a row and has decided that the correct answer to this is say, ah, yeah, let's do best of 71. Because let's be honest, if you can lose one game of tic-tac-toe, you don't know how to play the game.
Yeah, and, like, tic-tac-toe's a weird example because, you know, it is possible to always force a draw.
Yeah, like, to have someone actually win a game of tic-tac-toe, the opponent has to make just a gigantic blunder.
A strange, like, game. The only winning move is not to play.
Exactly. Tic-tac-toe is nuclear warfare. Correct.
Yeah. Which, you know, it's at least a great way to kill time.
Yes.
Or for convincing your supercomputer that it's a pointless game.
Yeah.
But, well, not pointless, but, well, the only winning move is not to play. It always ends in a draw. There's no winners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no winners unless someone, I'd argue, almost intentionally loses.
Yeah. Yeah, even children understand tic-tac-toe well enough to force a draw almost every time.
Yeah, like, the only way you lose tic-tac-toe is if you're not paying attention or you just don't care.
Yeah.
Or you, like, aren't familiar enough with games, but at that point, like, you're either really young or really sheltered or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. And then eventually, Applejack shows up, having tied Fluttershy's tail around her head and dragged her the entire way up.
Yeah, it's a weird life.
Mind you, Fluttershy's on her back, legs sticking up, just paralyzed with fear.
It's the fainting goat thing. Like, there's even a goat sound when Fluttershy falls over.
Yeah. And then they keep going, and there's this gap.
Yeah, there's a cliff. There's a cliff that you gotta do a big jump to get over.
Yeah, and, like, Rainbow Dash flies over, everyone else just kind of jumps over fine. And then, and then Fluttershy's like, ah, geez, I can't. And then Pinkie Pie, to her credit, does like do a little song about doing a hop, skip, and a jump.
Yeah, just move your little rump. It's a hop, skip, and jump. Yeah. Towards the end of it, it goes from a song to like a fevered chanting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it works though. Like,
yeah, well, it almost works.
As much as I like to try and be a Pinkie Pie hater, well, it works in that it gets Fluttershy to try.
Yeah.
And it only doesn't work because Twilight sabotages it.
Yeah, Twilight does say don't look down, which is the absolute wrong thing to say in this situation.
Yeah, literally never, if someone is in a situation in which doing a thing will cause them to feel fear, don't tell them to not do the thing. They'll just do the thing.
Yeah.
Like, I have a problem with heights. If someone said to me near a high ledge, don't look down, I would look down and I would not be able to do the thing anymore.
Yeah.
I would be paralyzed with fear. I fucking get it. I've been there.
Yep. And then this is where we find out that the gap is big enough to step over.
Yes. Which is very cute.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good reveal of just like, oh, this is all actually like a pretty good joke.
Yeah. And then, like, to the point where Pinkie Pie is just, like, jumping back and forth to show it's not a big deal, and they wind up pushing Fluttershy over.
Yeah. Like, yeah, cause she does the hop, the skip, and, to her credit, the jump, and then looks down, and, her fear takes power over, over physics, and she just falls straight down rather than continue with momentum.
Yep.
She wily coyotes herself into being stuck, yep. And her friends have to pull her out.
Yep. And then,
And they're in an avalanche zone.
Yep. And then we get a very good, like, hoof squish into mouth animation.
Yeah. Because, like, Rainbow was fluttering along and hit a branch and a leaf fell on Fluttershy's back. So she started screaming. And then, yeah, like, Applejack's hoof goes all the way down her throat trying to get her to shut up. Yeah. And then there's a rock slide, not an avalanche. Yeah. Different thing.
Yep.
Big action scene. Twilight almost gets crushed by a rock until Applejack comes and saves the day.
Yeah.
Again.
Yep.
Like, you say Applejack doesn't do much in season one, but, like, she keeps being, like,
yeah.
a major secondary character,
yeah.
In every episode.
Yeah.
So far, anyway.
Yeah, like, she shows up, but it's... I've talked about this before. The issue is that, like, Applejack doesn't have a lot to learn compared to everyone else.
Yeah.
It's a weird situation. She gets more to do later, and eventually they move away from this format. And yeah, they mix it up,
yeah.
More. But yeah, the really the main problem is Applejack doesn't have very much to learn as a pony.
Yeah, she's definitely the one who's got everything already figured out, for the most part.
Yeah, like, yeah, learning not to overcommit herself and, you know, ask for help was a good one for her.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a reason that she gets the very best letter to Celestia, which is, "Dear Princess Celestia, I was right all along. I didn't learn anything. Sincerely, Applejack."
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
It's a good episode.
Yeah.
Of our lives. Yeah, so Twilight thanks Applejack for saving her life. I think they kind of rub noses or something, yeah?
Yeah. There's at least some, like, very affectionate contact. I was, at the time, a little too busy noticing that Rarity pulled out a second scarf.
Mm-hmm.
But realized she forgot to bring the matching tiara.
Yeah.
You didn't have the matching tiara the first time. Also, Rarity, where'd your cool faux camo hat go?
Yeah.
Also, I'm so glad Rarity's bag is back. Again, the bags are only there when you need them.
Yeah, the bags were not there earlier, mind you. Not when they were jumping the gap.
Yeah.
And I don't think they were there when they were pre-rock slide.
Nope. The bags are only there when you need them.
It's a good bag.
Yeah. Like, it's not animation errors. It's just cool magical bags.
Yeah. And, Maybe she realized that the camo hat didn't make much sense because it was green camo and they're climbing a mountain, right? Green camo wouldn't blend in with anything.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, a mountain like that, like there's the tree that Fluttershy that Rainbow Dash bumped and got the leaf.
Yeah, the one tree.
I mean, there were a few other ones that we saw along the way, and like in the real world, a mountain like that would have greenery pretty much all the way
up.
Well,
no, eventually you pass the tree line.
Yes, but if you're passing the tree line, you're going to need, like, breathing assistance.
No, I've gone up past the tree line. You could do it on Pike's Peak. You shouldn't do it all day, but, like, you can breathe above the tree line.
Oh, okay. To be fair, I've mostly lived around very small mountains, like the, you know, Canadian Shield and stuff, which are mostly hills. I've never actually gone hiking up past a tree line. I was under the impression that was the kind of height where you started to need, like, some assistance with, like, breathing apparatus and stuff.
No, you can, you'll be fine. Now, there is weird stuff with the pressure. You should make sure you drink plenty of water. You're susceptible to altitude sickness and so on. You know, the air gets thinner, so you...
I was fixating on breathing. Breathing is higher, but like, the tree line is definitely where you're starting to have other physiological problems. Yeah. And there are horses. Like, they are tiny horses. They're going to have similar and different problems.
You can even live up there. It's, so long as you baked, it may take you some time to develop the lung capacity if you're not used to it, but you can. It's fine. You can go up there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's all the, like, people go to Tibet because there's a lot of towns that live at that height for, like, exercise stuff for the lung capacity growth shit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or you could just live in Colorado.
Yeah, that's fair, too. Go to some places in, like, Arizona and shit as well.
Yeah.
Got some pretty tall mountain communities in there when it's not, desert. Point being, it's also not colors that would have been good camouflage for anywhere, but, like, a rainforest with just the colors the hat was, but that's a different issue.
Yeah. Like, it's meant to evoke camouflage, not necessarily camouflage her from anything, right? This is an action hat.
Yeah. Like, hi, I have a shirt that's, like, red and pink camo. It's not gonna hide anywhere other than, like, in a pile of lesbians.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I've got some...
Which...
Yeah, I used to have some fiery camo pants, which, if the lower half of me was standing in front of a fire, I'd have a real tactical advantage.
I really love, like, the older blotch camo. Like, I used to know the name of that camo pattern. It's, like, we have a lot better camo patterns now, but the old, like, really blotchy camo like that. I love anything that uses, like, weird colors in that sort of arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a pattern I like. Anyway, I'm sorry.
So, Rainbow Dash makes fun of her for, like, we can't just sit around making sure our hair bows match our horseshoes, which is... Because, like, our hooves are, like, it's just flat on there. There's horseshoes underneath, I guess?
I mean, yeah, like, if you're going on a hike like that, you'd probably want some good horseshoes put in. Shoeshine. Her name's Shoeshine.
Yeah, and her cutie mark is horseshoes.
Yeah, but, like...
Remember, you have to, like, permanently affix horseshoes.
No, you don't.
Yeah?
Horseshoes actually do need to be replaced fairly regularly.
Yeah, but you, like, semi-permanently affix them to the hoof, right? You, like...
Yeah, you kind of nail them in.
Yeah.
But it would be like getting, like, a human equivalent would be, like, if you got your fingernails long enough that you could get, like, a piercing through your fingernail for humans. Like, it's not something we do, but, like, it's a thing that you can do for horses.
Yeah.
This is one thing I do know. Thankfully, I do know enough people that did, like, horse and cow related farming stuff back in the real world that I at least know about how shoes work.
Does that mean we have to go shoe shopping at some point?
I'm gonna be honest. I have kind of wanted to look into, like, rubberized horseshoes just for some, like, more comfortable walking so it's not quite so clunky in the... Like, because we gotta crawl around in some bushes and stuff a lot to not be noticed by the camera.
Yeah.
Or, more accurately, so we can get places where the camera's not looking, so we're allowed to be there.
Yeah.
So, like, some nice, like, ruggedized, rubbery horse... We'll look into it later.
Yeah. I mean, we also see ponies wearing, like, boots. Like, galoshes.
That's a weird vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I did forget about that. It's a weird vibe.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird that we have the... They have the iconography of a horseshoe, but they don't seem to actually... Well, they have horseshoes as in, like, the game, right? We see them throwing horseshoes and, you know, playing the game of horseshoes.
But the reason that game exists is you need something to do with the old horseshoes. Yeah. You can't put on a horse anymore, so it's...
Which implies that, you know, they're shooed. We're shooed.
I mean, what if the horseshoes are just the same color as their fur?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of ponies, like, I got the really dark hooves, but, like, your hooves are the same color as your fur.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there's probably ponies out there like Shoeshine who... Probably, like, make sure you get horseshoes that match your color so they don't stand out. Like, I know... Oh, and I'm trying to figure out if that's, like, canon art I've seen or if it's fan art of, like, the Celestia and Luna having, like, actual... Like, Luna having... Sorry, Celestia actually having, like, gold horseshoes on the bottom of her hooves.
I don't think that's
canon. Go checking now.
Yeah, yeah, there's a number of reasons why I would not want to, like, go look at Celestia's feet.
there's a number of reasons to not look at Celestia's feet is a very good sentence.
One, there's a reason you might get sent to the moon. Two, it would be weird. C, Celestia would think you're a pervert. D,
Five, I don't know. I don't really want to take a trip to Canterlot just to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, we do got those two tickets to the Grand Galloping Gala. Look,
if we're at the Grand Galloping Gala and she takes her, like, external shoe things off, maybe we'll get lucky. But I kind of doubt that.
up all night to get lucky at the Grand Galloping Gala to maybe see some god shoes.
Getting lucky, of course, refers to seeing Princess Celestia with her shoes off.
Oh, man, this episode's for the foot fetishists.
Or the hoof fetishists, I guess.
I mean, yeah, but that's a... Race, all our feet are hooves.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I guess Gilda. I guess, like, Gilda and Griffins. And... Okay.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Spike.
Yeah, you could say they have claws or paws. At some point, it's a distinction without a different.
Yeah. Yeah, this one's for the headishists. The hoof fetishists.
Yeah.
But not for the heads. Yeah. This one is not for the heads.
Is this what clapping is?
Oh, no.
Well, it brought around full circle, folks.
We got to what? Episode 7 before mentioning clapping?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I was hoping we'd last until, like, maybe 9, but whatever. Yeah. Here we are.
What are you going to do? I'm going to stop looking at my own hooves now. This is weird. Because, like, they're like a little dimple on him, sure, but, like,
Well, we'll just go talk to Shoeshine at some point.
Hey, can you explain my feet to me? Can you give me a feet tutorial? A foot-torial?
Hey, Shoeshine, she was... Graceful Spark was out and got, hit in the face with a branch, and she forgot how feet work. Can you explain? Can you explain to my slightly dazed friend how feet work? I will be taking notes in the corner. Do not ask why.
My friend here seems to have forgotten how feet work. Could you explain it to her? I know, but you're the expert. I figured you would be best to tell her, and then I'll make sure what you're telling her is correct.
Yeah.
I'll
take notes just so, like... If in future I need to have this conversation with her again, I can just be like, right, the foot expert says this.
Yeah, I'm the guy in Memento, but only for what feet are.
Oh, no!
I have a very specific kind of amnesia.
Hoof amnesia?
Hoof
am I?
This is why Dr. Hooves is named that.
Oh, I see. Oh, no. It's like Dr. Schultz. But for ponies. Fuck you. It's not a Doctor Who reference. It's a fucking... Oh, God. What's the word for foot doctor?
Podiatrist.
Orthopedics? Podiatrist. What the fuck was one I said? I don't know.
Ortho, I think, is for bones.
Ah, okay. Ah, good. A thing we don't need to worry about. We don't have bones.
Yeah, we're pretty much
horse don't have bone.
Yeah, we're big marshmallows.
Yeah, we're big marshmallows. I appreciate this. I'm a big shaggy marshmallow. Yeah,
a very, very soft, cute, gay, shaggy marshmallow. IMO. Folks, you gotta feel this horse. She's so soft and warm.
Aww.
Even when it's cold out. World hard and cold. Horse soft and warm.
Gosh. If you're touching how warm and fluffy I am, you've really got to make sure that you get your face in some of that some of that graceful spark chest floof, because it's, it is the greatest pillow I have ever pressed my head against.
Aw, dare you flatter me.
I mean, no, you're very poofy, you're not very flat at all.
I do appreciate the praise, dear, let's leave it at that. Such a good pony.
Hey, fuck, where were we? Where were we in the chronological events?
After the rock slide.
As I try and move on from my blushing.
After the rock slide, dear.
Oh, right, yeah.
So, long story short, they eventually get up the mountain. The rock slide happened, but, like, it wasn't apparently that much of a setback.
Yeah, Rainbow Dash is, again, a gigantic asshole this episode.
Yeah, I guess our whole thing is being impatient here.
But, like, Fluttershy slips trying to, like, get over the rock slide and, like, runs into Rarity and Applejack. And, like, to Rarity's credit, she's like, oh, I'm so sorry, we seem to have fallen down in a pile. And, like, Rainbow Dash is like, oh, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
It's like, Rainbow, don't...
And then,
Rainbow.
And then she's rude to Rarity, and then...
Yeah, like, yeah, Rainbow's just being a complete asshole this episode.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And long story short, we meet the dragon. They're very big, pretty good dragon.
Oh.
Yeah?
We gotta go over the plan first. The plan.
Yeah, so we get up there, and, Fluttershy comes out that she is afraid of dragons.
Yes. This is actually a little bit after the thing, because Twilight has a scheme for how to deal with this whole thing. And step one is Rainbow Dash goes and clears the smoke, which, like, she could have flown up here earlier and cleared all the smoke, which she doesn't do during the entirety of this. She's told to go clear the smoke, and then she's just standing around for the rest of this whole time. So that's a thing. Rarity and Pinkie Pie are to make a diversion. And Pinkie Pie's plan for this is to wave a rubber chicken around.
Yeah.
To which, like, Rarity's response for this has to be a community meme, right? Like, the little, like, thinking poof against the chin, and then just, like, little, like, shrug gesture.
Yep, I wrote that down.
Excellent. And then, yeah. And yeah, AJ's part of this plan is to kick apples at the dragon. Like, that's gonna do anything, but all right. And then, yeah, Fluttershy gets volunteered again into going into the cave to talk to the dragon. And that's when we get the, like, Fluttershy being like, I'm scared of dragons. I'm scared of explicitly of dragons.
Yeah. Yeah, the manticore, not a dragon. Spike, baby dragon, he's fine.
Being scared of dragons seems reasonable, though. But, like, I get it. Like, it's a, she is explicitly, like, the biggest fear is adult dragons. So, okay. She does spend some time hiding behind Applejack's flank.
Yeah.
Again. Like, it's interesting that that is the place she always hides, I guess.
I get it.
I guess Applejack's thick thighs tell no lies, and that is why it is a bastion of safety.
I mean, if I had to hide behind one of the main six, Applejack's clearly the sturdiest.
This is fair.
I mean, I don't see you hiding behind me sometimes, dear.
Yes. Hiding is what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, anyway.
Oh, so now it's reasonable that Fluttershy is only afraid of adult dragons. Or is this beans an hour ago, huh?
I'm saying that being scared of all dragons is reasonable, because, like, that's how fears work. The fact that she is scared of explicitly adult dragons, and that a baby dragon doesn't trigger that, is weird. But, like, I guess, fine, she's scared of adult dragons. Like, I'm saying just, like, fear of dragons, period, is reasonable. It is just very weird that her fear is explicitly adult dragons.
Yeah. The other thing you could maybe... This is, another weird thing is that they keep talking about how Fluttershy is good with animals, but, like, dragons aren't animals. They can talk. Like, they're people.
Yeah, like, we have the cows that, like, Applejack is better with, because she is, I mean, we can deal with the weirdness of wrangling creatures that can talk to you, but, like, yeah, like, Fluttershy is not shown to be able to be very good with cows, as far as I know.
Yeah.
I've never seen her talking with them.
Yeah, like, the world of My Little Pony is divided into animals, which are specifically, like, those that cannot talk. Your rabbits, your ferrets, your this and that, your dogs, and your birds, and you know, your things that can talk, your ponies, your cows, your dragons, your griffins, and so on. And like Fluttershy is like Fluttershy is very much of the like she deals with that first category. By and large, she's very good at that.
Yeah, she's capable of empathizing and communicating with creatures that cannot use spoken language. Yeah. Also, why the fuck wasn't she goddamn petrified of the sea serpent, Mr. Magnet?
I dare anyone to be afraid of Stephen Magnet.
Okay, but like, she is so scared of adult dragons that she becomes scared of her own shadow because of it, I think is where we're saying here. Like,
yeah.
How is our darling Magnet not also
is
that?
Is she not afraid of noodle dragons?
Yeah, like, is it only explicitly Western dragons she's scared of? Because that's a weird take.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, maybe in her head, sea serpent is a different category from dragon?
I guess.
Or river serpent?
But like,
it seems weird.
But like, when she mentions things that she's scared of dragons because of, like, sharp scales can swallow a pony in one bite. Giant.
Steve
like,
could do all of those.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Rarity uses one of his scales to cut her tail. Yeah. His scales are sharp.
Yeah.
Again, like, even in this episode, Fluttershy's fears do not, like, consistently make sense. And like, I'm realizing, like, fears are irrational. But, like,
yeah.
There is still a logic that can be found to something that is kind of irrational. And it doesn't have its own, like, internal logic that it stays consistent with.
Yeah.
Which phobias generally do.
Yeah, like, usually when you have a phobia like this, there's, like, some specific thing that caused it, right? Like, there's...
Yeah.
And, that is, and things that are similar to that are, like, what bring it back. And, like, to be...
Mm-hmm.
When I was watching the episode, kind of assumed her position would be reversed. I figured I would be a lot harder on Fluttershy for, like, this. Because, like, it's a lot. She's pretty frustrating for the first most of the episode.
Yeah, but again, like, because no one's respecting her agency through this entire episode. To the point where, like, again, she tries to force her wings open, and the plot says no. Yeah. Like...
Maybe it would have been different earlier if she said she was afraid of dragons. I doubt it. Or, like, I don't know. It's the thing that's just sticking to me is that, like, oh, Fluttershy, you're good with animals or beasts or whatever, but a dragon is clearly neither of those. A dragon is a person.
Yeah. And, like, once they're at the top, Twilight's finally like, well, why didn't you say something about not wanting to get here? And, like, Fluttershy has the, like, I was too scared to line, which, no, she wasn't. She did, and Twilight told her no. Like, when they were looking at the map, Fluttershy's like, I can't do this. And Twilight's like, no, you're good with animals, so we'll get you to talk to this fucking being that is ridiculously larger than us and can speak words and shit and is a person, because you're good with animals.
Yeah, it's such a weird thing to, like, because you know dragons can talk, Twilight, you own one. Like,
yeah. Yeah, and like she read a book on them when she first goes into the cave to address the dragon. Like, she clearly is expecting to have a conversation with it. Him? They gendered the dragon. Yeah. Fine. I don't know. Maybe Celestia saw his dick on the way on the way into the cave. Who fucking knows? But yeah, like...
Frustrating episode.
Very. But yeah, and God, Rainbow did the thing that, like, sometimes I like when it comes up, but this is definitely one of the ones where I hate it. Where, like, Applejack steps in and is like, we're all scared of dragons. That makes sense. Like, they're big, scary monsters. I get it. And Rainbow Dash is like, I'm not scared of the dragon. It's like, okay, cool, Rainbow Dash, we get it. Your guild is not in frame anymore, so now you gotta fill those shoes again. Understood. Mm-hmm. But you don't need to be an asshole. Like, you don't need to be this much of a fucking asshole, Rainbow.
Yeah, Rainbow Dash is consistently just, like, the rudest to Fluttershy and about Fluttershy.
Yeah. Yeah, like, and it's not the first time we've seen Rainbow being explicitly rude to Fluttershy. Like, the two of them definitely have... I think I've even seen an episode somewhere in the future where it actually kind of digs into, like, these two just not really getting along before as well. Like, which, you know, weird that there are elements of harmony together then, but okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Look, sometimes your friends get on your nerves sometimes. Or, like, it's possible they're not, like, really... Living in harmony with someone doesn't necessarily mean you're friends with them. But it is implied that they're all friends, which is weird, right? It implies they're all one big friend group. And even then, like, you're not forced to like everyone in your friend group equally. It's still weird. It's still...
Yeah.
Rainbow Dash is weirdly aggro to Fluttershy this episode.
Yeah. And, like, they definitely are probably the two ponies that get along the worst of the main six. And, like, yeah, friend groups are like that. But, like, it's just... It's just Rainbow's just such an asshole. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, we get into the cave, and I like this dragon design. It's a good dragon design.
I like this dragon. I think he looks good.
Mm.
And
it's a lot of fun shapes with how his head's put together.
Yeah, like, got some nice haunches we see later, good tail. Quality dragon.
Yeah. Yeah. That I still love the, like, swoop, like the down-up, like, S-curve swoop of his snout. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's very good.
Quality dragon.
Mm-hmm.
So, Twilight's getting in there, and, like, she wakes him up, and he, like, yawns at her or something, and the spell is so bad it makes her make a pretty interesting face.
Yeah.
And, it looks like it's going to work. He gets up, and then just kind of flops down on the horde in a different way, and Twilight leaves. Rarity shows up and starts trying to fuck the dragon, and to her credit, it would have worked if she didn't try and steal his shit.
Yeah, like, Rarity was, like, Rarity rolled a real good charm check on this, but rolled real bad sleight of hand to try and just steal. Like, Rarity, if you could maybe not try and steal his golden jewels, like, while he's in the room, while you're trying to convince him to leave, like...
Yeah.
You're trying to do two jobs at once, when Rarity, if you get him to leave, and you get him to agree to that, then you might be able to talk him into leaving.
And even then, even if you don't, like, Rarity, I know you can find gems with your brain. You can dig up some other ones. It's fine.
Yeah, that's not come up in the show yet, but I'm glad that you were already aware of this knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame that, like, because Rarity, what element of harmony was Rarity again?
Generosity.
She was, like, generosity, right?
It seems weird that the element of generosity would try and steal shit.
Right? Like, and like, I think this is the first time we've seen it, and I think the only time to my memory where, like, Rarity is trying to, like, connivingly talk someone out of their, like, wealth and shit. Like, pretty much every other time, she's at least, like, trying to have a like, you know, commission-style transaction, rather than just be like, you can leave and I'll take care of your gold for you.
Yeah.
Like, this is the only time I can think of where she does that.
Yeah, like, this is something that gets played on later a little bit, where, like, Rarity can, in fact, be dazzled by expensive things, gold and jewelry and gems and such, but it's...
But there's a difference between being dazzled and trying to steal it.
Yeah, like, it's weird. I guess it kind of makes sense for Rarity's character. Like, again, it's... Rarity does this because otherwise her thing would have worked, and then they wouldn't have needed Fluttershy. But this episode is about Fluttershy.
Yeah, like, again, I mentioned it before, in this episode, like, these characters are hijacked from the people we know they are to be this, like, to have the plot work in a way where they make horrible decisions that are out of character for them to make because the plot demands they do. Again, like, I'm pretty sure Fluttershy could have fucking dealt with the Ursa Minor.
But she wasn't there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she was there for, like, the start of that, but then she was just not around. Like, Pinkie Pie never showed up to the, like, fucking stage magician.
Yeah.
Like, the one person that's, like, the closest to her we've seen, character-wise. She just wasn't even around. Because Pinkie Pie being around with Trixie would have just completely demolished any point to the episode that is what was written. So they just had to not have her be there. Yeah, after Rarity tries and catastrophically fails her thing that almost worked.
Yeah, it's a very much, like, I don't know why we only try ideas once situation. Like,
Pinkie Pie's turn is so
I guess that this at least kind of makes sense that, like, well, the dragon isn't going to give you another try, Rarity. Like, you've already shown your hand.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, like, Twilight and Rarity, outside of Rarity trying to steal the gold, like, tried the same approach-ish. Yeah. They went for, like, different angles of, like, empathy.
Yeah, it's wild to see, like, so Pinkie Pie goes in. She's like, she's got sunglasses on. She's wearing like a wrapped present around her body. She's got a, I think, one of those party blowers, one of those noisemakers in her mouth. And she's got a bunch of balloons tied to her tail. Yeah. And then she goes in. The dragon, we don't even see what happens. It's just off screen. The dragon does not like it. It kicks her out.
Yeah. Like, to her credit, this is the, like, basically the exact same thing she tried with Gilda as well. Like, the best way to get someone on your side is to make them laugh.
Yeah.
And like, I used to hate Pinkie Pie. I'm coming around on liking Pinkie Pie more because, if anything, she's probably one of the most, like, consistent characters, which is weird to fucking say for the Avatar of Chaos. Yeah. But like,
the thing I could say about Pinkie Pie is that she is always willing to give someone a chance, right? Like, Pinkie Pie, no matter what you are or what you've done for her, she will throw you a party as an olive branch.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, Pinkie Pie will always extend, like, you gotta be into the kind of parties she wants to throw, which is a little eh.
Yeah, but like, even, like, Pinkie Pie parties that maybe aren't exactly my thing, I appreciated it, right? Like, you know, if you are, I think it would be very difficult to, like, approach a Pinkie Pie party in good faith and not come away having a good time. Because she is going to do her damnedest to make sure you have a good time. That is her olive branch.
And, yeah.
You know, she tried it here and it didn't work, but, you know, really there was no indication that it wouldn't, right? Like, the only reason it didn't work is because Fluttershy has to do it. This is her story.
Yeah. Like, Pinkie Pie always tries to just, like, make someone laugh, throw a party for them. Like, she is honestly actually a very good character. Yeah. I never thought I'd say that, but I'm very, like, pro Pinkie Pie these days now. Just because, like, yeah, she's not a person I really enjoy spending a lot of time with, personally, but, like, that's not a reason to hate someone.
Yeah, like,
and that's the only reason I don't like her, is that, like, she's too high energy for
me. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, she's always at an 11, which can be exhausting. But, you know, I really appreciate and respect that no matter what, she'll give you a chance. Like, she will give you a good faith offer of friendship.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and you can't say that about a lot of people. I can't even say that about myself, to be honest. Like, it's something I appreciate about her.
Yeah, like, I can think of lots of people that, like, I would never even on a first blush give them, like, any sort of good faith approach. Mostly because, you know, they're TERFs or whatever.
Yeah, people have already showed their hands in one way or another.
Yeah. But, like, Pinkie Pie would give them a chance under the mentality of, like, if you can get them to start talking to you, you might be able to change their mind. Like, Pinkie Pie is a very good, like, diplomat, as long as the people she's dealing with like Pinkie Pie's approach.
Yeah.
She has one card, and she always plays it, and it's very powerful, but...
I honestly think that, like, if you didn't like a Pinkie Pie party, it was either, like, you know, she accidentally struck a nerve, right? Like, you know, you didn't like... Yeah. You don't like her showing up out of nowhere, blowing a party in her face, and this and that, which is reasonable. It's either, like, you're going to engage with the party in good faith. Even if you don't enjoy the party, you would appreciate the effort, or, you know, you were already not going to like Pinkie Pie, and you're not going to enjoy the party.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, we had a Pinkie Pie party in our place, and now we're both, like, at least okay with her. We both appreciate her.
Yeah. Yeah. It only took me having to say, like, 3 times that no, Pinkie Pie, I don't want to turn playing Pin the Tail on the Pony, because, like, that's where my line is. Yeah. I do not enjoy the concept of Pin the Hair on the Human as a game. So, like, but yeah, she got it.
Yeah.
Like, she seems to at least accept that I am a much more subdued person than she is.
Yeah, Pinkie Pie assumes everyone likes the things she does, but she is... I think eventually you could, like, get her to understand your boundaries, right? Because she wants to be a good friend.
Yeah, it took a bit, but she got
there. She wants to be a good friend. Like, I think once she understands your likes and dislikes, she would understand that and, like, tailor future parties to what she thinks she would like.
Yeah, like, the Gilda episode, she insisted on not pranking Fluttershy because she knew Fluttershy would not appreciate the joke at all. Like, that is clearly probably, Pinkie Pie has pranked Fluttershy in the past, and it was a whole fucking thing, and she learned from that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is more than you can say for Rainbow Dash. Yep. But yeah,
Yeah, so this all happens. Rainbow Dash is like, all right, we tried charm. Sorry, she points at Twilight, says, we tried persuasion, points at Rarity, we tried charm, which are kind of the same thing. But,
But they are different D&D stats. Sorry.
And we tried whatever Pinkie Pie tried. It's time for action. Rainbow Dash flies in there, kicks the dragon on the nose, and it absolutely does not work.
Yeah, I have to at least applaud her. She does have an approach, and such as it is, she gets knocked out of the cave. Again, kind of mysteriously, like she just gets blown out and just rolls out in a ball.
Yeah.
And knocks over her friends with bowling ball bowling pin sounds, which is, I kind of appreciate just watching Twilight just go from standing to lying on the ground with her legs still stretched straight out. Like,
yeah.
There was no maneuvering from Twilight. She just fell over.
And that's when our dragon friend comes out, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's finally like, okay, fuck you. You ponies keep screwing with me. I'm going to actually like chase you away from my cave. Applejack finally shows fear and like all five of them are huddling together and he breathes some more smoke. So this dragon just only breathes smoke. He doesn't breathe fire, which is strange, but whatever. Okay, cool. Dragons. Mm-hmm.
Dragons are cool.
Yeah. Yeah. The five of them get knocked back into a boulder, in a undignified heap, and the boulder fucking breaks from the force of these five ponies being shot into it.
Which I thought it was affixed to the ground, like it was more of a rock outcropping, like or a not quite a stalagmite, but something like that. Like it was a big rocky triangle sticking up out of the mountain.
Yeah, but like we see like cracks form in it before it falls apart, and like the inside of it is solid rock. So it's even if it's a little pile of rocks, like the force of ponies being thrown against it caused cracks that made it fall apart.
My point is that it wasn't a boulder; it was a solid chunk of rock that got broken and knocked off, revealing Fluttershy hiding behind it.
Yeah, there's a Fluttershy butt quivering in the air before she turns around.
Oh, so she remembered how to fly.
Just her butt was in the air.
Oh, yep.
She was doing she's doing an ostrich.
Face down, butt up, that's the way I like to cower.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, she looks at her five friends who are in various stages of KO'd.
Yeah.
And we get the reason I like Fluttershy,
because
we get a lot of facial expression from her as she's trying to like there's clearly some struggle going on in that head, and I think we finally have Fluttershy push past the plot, which falls away because it needs her to do this now, but she is finally able to assert her own like agency into the scene in which just the how dare you. Is so fucking good. We get like mom mode Fluttershy.
She stares down the dragon. The dragon's like, well, you know, the rainbow one kicked me. And she's like,
that rainbow one kicked me.
If I were in Fluttershy, I would have made Rainbow Dash apologize.
Yes. Yeah. Like, the thing is, Rainbow, like, when the dragon's like, that one kicked me, Rainbow Dash is like very smug, like, yeah, I did. Even though it didn't do anything. Yeah. Also, like, Rarity tried to steal his fucking golden gems and stuff, and he's upset about being kicked on the nose, which, like, for people who are listening and did not watch the episode, the reason I really love that, like, S-curve of his snout is that, like, Fluttershy lands, like, on the end of his nose and, like, walks up to his eyes while talking to him, and it's a real good, like, it's just really cute animation work for that bit.
Yeah, so if I were Fluttershy, I would have, like, made my friends apologize because, like, let's be honest here. Like, if you're in the dragon's shoes, like, these ponies just started antagonizing you for no reason.
Yeah, I agree. Like,
honestly, kind of blameless, right? Like, everyone acts like he's this bad guy, but, like, he didn't really do anything wrong.
Yeah, I mean, kind of.
He's doing the smoke thing, yes, which is bad, but, like,
like, he knows when he sleeps, he's going to cause clouds of smoke. Like, maybe he should have checked where the wind would blow before, you know, going to sleep for 100 years and perhaps, like, ruining an entire continent's agricultural and, like, just
livelihood.
Where do
dragons sleep usually, then?
I don't know.
Like,
but, like, there's got to be some, like, I don't know. The front of the boat fell off. Yeah, so it's leaking oil into the environment. Oh, no, we just dragged the boat out of the environment. Yeah.
I presumably drag it sleep elsewhere that isn't a problem, but it's weird.
Yeah. I guess the thing is, he did sleep in a mount, like, in a cave that is just overlooking a town. Yeah. Like, there is just a town that he can see from the entrance to his cave if he looks down.
But they say it's a problem for Equestria, right? Like,
yes.
Which implies that, like, no matter where he slept in the town, no matter where he slept in the entire country of Equestria would have caused a problem.
Oh, see, no, all they gotta do is just get him to sleep on any, like, the mountains near the border of Equestria, where the wind would blow, I don't know, over into fucking the country griffins are from or something. And then Celestia's fine with
it. Yeah, it's fine so long as it's bad for someone else.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, yeah. I would say the only downside to this, like, again, the scene that made me really love Fluttershy is that, like, she definitely does really blame the dragon for everything. Like, even the, like the that Rainbow one kicked me, and she's like, yeah, like, yeah, and I'm very sorry that Rainbow Dash kicked you, but, like, you're much bigger than her, and, like, you should know better than to, like, be a bully to people, even if they're, like, trying to hit you, which is a bit of a weird flex! And he starts fucking crying and stuff, like...
Yeah, like, what was he supposed to do, right? He didn't really hurt anyone, like...
Yeah, like, it's one of those things of, like, this is a very good talking down to a, like, trying to talk a bully into not being a bully thing from a, like,
sure.
It wouldn't work to a normal bully. But, like, the problem is, he is not that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I can agree. Like, Fluttershy, like, forcing the other ponies to apologize would have been a much stronger scene.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah, because, like...
But, like, having her just assert herself was actually really nice for me when I was first watching the show. So it as much as, like, the context of the scene has some problems, like, it still, it gave me some genders.
Like this is, like, the point of this is that we get to see Fluttershy, right? Like,
yeah,
and like that I get, right? Like, the it's not really about who was right or wrong, it's about Fluttershy, like, being useful or whatever.
Again, it's why I've been saying, like, asserting her agency. Like, this is Fluttershy when, like she has tried to voice things quietly. All her friends have tried their tactics, and none of those have worked. And Fluttershy is just frustrated and still kind of, like, even in at her angriest, Fluttershy, like, still, like, as soon as the dragon starts crying, she's like, you're not a bad dragon. You just made a bad decision. Mm-hmm. Like, we can help you, like, find somewhere else to move to, which is, like, a reasonable response. And if Fluttershy had gotten over her fear beforehand, she could have just had that conversation and all this would have been skipped. And I get that that's kind of the point, but, like, sorry, do you have anything you want? Because I'm about to start talking about Twilight's letter to Celestia.
Just, like, I don't know, just the way this shakes out bugs me, because the dragon, I think I've said most of what I want to say. Like, the dragon is like, whoa, but, and, like, I don't want to hear any buts out of you, and, like, yeah, I would cry in that fucking situation, too. I'm trying to explain my side of the story, and you don't want to hear any of it. Like, that's genuinely frustrating.
Yeah.
That fucking sucks to be in that situation. I'd cry, too, bitch.
100%. Yeah. And I think it's kind of to Fluttershy's credit that, like, as soon as she realizes she makes the dragon cry, she also calms down. And, like, the thing is, this episode, because we get the Twilight's letter, and I don't even remember what Twilight's letter was about, because I was just sort of frustrated with how kind of off point it was. Of just, because, like, Twilight's letter was just like, sometimes your friends might seem like a burden, but really they're helpful.
Yeah.
And, like, okay, cool, fuck you, Twilight, that's a horrible... That's a horrible thing in general, especially with this. Like, imagine, it could almost be the exact same episode we got, with just a few tweaks, of it being a letter about, like, you really need to, like, sometimes your friends have, like, fears they can't approach without help, and, like, being compassionate and, like, actually listening to your friends, even if you think the things they're scared of is silly. Like,
yeah.
Which, I mean, it's not. It's a fucking dragon. Like, that's reasonable to be scared of. Scary monster dragon. Okay, cool. Regardless of the fact that fear doesn't make sense with how Fluttershy exists, but fine. Like, it'd be such a better moral to this episode if the episode was about, like, being compassionate and listening to people who you don't want to agree with. Because then, like, we could have also had the dragon actually being allowed to explain his side of things and, like, just being like, I did not realize this would be a problem. And, like, all of you just kind of came storming in and...
Yeah, like, to Twilight's credit, she, I guess, tried, but she didn't really phrase it all that well, IMO.
I mean, the thing is, Twilight tried to be like, I'm kind of upset that Twilight's attempt didn't really work, because it paints the dragon as a fucking asshole.
Because, like, the dragon doesn't even talk to Twilight or Rarity. Like, the dragon only talks when Fluttershy shows up. Like, oh, you can talk?
Yeah. But, like, Twilight was expecting him to talk, and, like, Twilight's entire thing was like, hey, I know you probably didn't really think about this, but, like, where you're sleeping right now is going to cause a lot of problems to other people. Like, can we find somewhere else for you to sleep? And he just doesn't want to engage with that, which, like, kind of a shitty thing. Like, I kind of get where the him being the asshole in the scene comes from, like, there. But, like, it's...
Yeah.
It's kind of weak.
Yeah, like, if you were a dragon and you were trying to sleep, would you listen to Twilight Sparkle? Like,
probably not. And, like, and that's the issue. But then, like, why does he even bother listening to Rarity? Yeah. Like,
Rarity's at least trying to butter him up, right? Like,
yeah.
It's...
The best thing is, if, like, Twilight and Rarity had gone in there at the same time, they probably could have they could have tag-teamed this of, like charm and logic back and forth to get the dragon to agree, like, right away. Like,
yeah, that probably would have worked better, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. So, but, like, if this episode's moral was about
sometimes you have to put up with your friends until they are useful. That's a shitty thing to say.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
right. We even just talked about it a little bit ago with Pinkie Pie, that, like, she will always try and, like, throw a party for someone to at least have, like, a good faith, like, attempt to get to like them and, like, have them... want to be friends.
Yeah.
Like, that could have been the moral of this episode. It could have so easily been the moral of this episode. And we could have had almost the exact same episode, just with, like, a stronger, like, more actually talking to a thing that helps, like, kids have relationships thing to say.
Yeah, like, if Fluttershy had, say, vocalized her doubts and, like, but she wanted to go on some level and, like, you know, she got support from her friends that helped her get up there. That would have been a much stronger episode. That's like, instead of this weird thing where like they're kind of forcing her up the mountain.
Yeah, like there are multiple scenes of like three ponies having to work together to force Fluttershy to move. And if it's more of a like Fluttershy gets scared, her wings snap closed, she just can't get them to open again. Like she tries, like instead of fainting goat, like, we see her, like, try and climb the mountain, and she, like, because she's Fluttershy and a Pegasus, and, like, already kind of the frail one of the group that's just sort of the character she is, like, she can't climb the cliff. It's too steep for her, and she can't fly. Like, the fear is locking her wings in place, and that is why Applejack steps up and says, I'll take the map and take her around the mountain, and the two of them just walk around there, and, like, maybe, even if at the very end it's like Applejack and like Fluttershy is like draped across her back, and the thing, it's just like Fluttershy just got too tired, like because she's not used to walking this far.
Yeah, exactly. Like it feels like they're forcing Fluttershy up the mountain the entire time, which is
They are. Like she explicitly said, like she could have been written to say that yes, she wants to go, which would be in fitting with the character we've seen in previous episodes.
Like, exactly. Like, yeah, they say they need Fluttershy. It would be nice for Fluttershy to have at least said, like, yeah, I would like to help, but, like, I'm goddamn petrified of dragons. Instead of,
we saw her be interested in baby dragons. What if her twist, instead, was not that she was explicitly scared of adult dragons, but that, like, she always wants... Because I think she even said that, like, when she first met Spike, was that she always wanted to meet a baby dragon or something.
I think she says, like, I mean, like, she's never seen a dragon before or something like that.
Yeah. Still, like, if her character was more of, she always wanted to meet a dragon, but, like, all the snoring noises and, like, the plumes of smoke that are causing the animals she cares for to, like, cough and be unwell. Like, all of these things are, like, weighing on her conscience and making her scared to address this creature, but she also, like, actually still really wants to meet a dragon. Like, that is such a good, like, she wants to help her friends. She wants to meet a dragon. She wants to actually help the town. She wants to save her, like, her charges. So, you know, the canary in the coal mine doesn't die. There's a reason it's a canary, after all. Like, have her actually want to do these things and just be struggling against the fact that, like, yeah, she's kind of frail and kind of cowardly. And, like, it could have been such a stronger, like, moral for the episode. It could have been such stronger characterization for her. It could have been a more, like, accepting of the morally gray situation between the dragon and these ponies. Like, Rainbow Dash could just keep being an asshole. And, like, the fact Rainbow Dash is such an asshole could have been part of the moral. Like, Rainbow Dash being wrong could have been part of the moral of this. And instead, the episode, if anything, is, like, thinking she's just wrong for, like, voicing it rather than for being angry at her friend.
Yeah, like, the episode's moral almost seems to be, if your friend says they're afraid to do something or they don't want to do it, you should force them to do that thing anyways. Like, if your friend is, like, safe running out of a situation, you should ignore that and force them into it. That's a weird, bad moral.
Yeah, like, it is just extremely horrible consent practices through this entire episode from and towards multiple characters. Mm. Like, there are so many ways this episode could have had I realize I've been ranting now, but, like, see, like, the last fucking 10 minutes of me going on a tirade.
Could have been good. It's just, and, like, yeah, the its heart is in the right place, but
I don't even know that, actually. I think this episode's heart is in the wrong place.
All right, see, like, I've been trying to be diplomatic with this episode because I've been figuring you liked it.
Oh, no. Again. So I said I liked this episode because it gives us Fluttershy. I like this episode because it shows, just like the prank episode showed us, like, a Pinkie Pie that would have been a much better Pinkie Pie to have through the rest of the season. Like, the Fluttershy this episode gestures at having is the Fluttershy I like. Like, the Fluttershy that we have at the end of the episode, who, like, can be assertive and doesn't, like, even with the how dare you, she doesn't really raise her voice very much. Like, we've seen her shout before. That wasn't even her shouting. That was just her, like, talking with strong emotion. And, like, we have her, like, taking care of all these animals. We have the extremely relatable experience she has with Angel, which I have some experience with in general, so it's very, like, relatable. Again, with her and Gilda, like, I get the victim of abuse angle that we see Fluttershy being again. Like, there is so much about this episode that gives us good looks into Fluttershy that isn't, like, just the part of the episode writing that Fluttershy is scared of adult dragons because, of course, she is, and now she's scared of everything. Like, I realize that's a large chunk of this episode's writing about Fluttershy, but if you take that piece out and then look at the rest of everything else that we have of Fluttershy, it's a character I really empathize with, and I really love the character. Especially this, like, post, like, a little bit post, like, letter being sent scene. Like, I really like that version of Fluttershy right there. Or, like, because, like, Rainbow Dash is back doing the whole ball thing. And, like, Pinkie Pie scares Rainbow Dash because apparently seeing a dragon cry makes Rainbow Dash scared of dragons now. I don't fucking know. I don't get it. Whatever. And, like, Rainbow Dash does the fainting goat thing. And she's like, oh no, I wasn't scared, you just threw off my concentration. And, like, we get a beautiful flutter dunk, and we get a few flutter dunks through the show, but just the, like, it's okay, Rainbow Dash, not everyone can be as brave as me.
Yeah.
And, like, the way she delivers that is very clearly, like, she understands that this is not true. She is not a brave character, but, like,
yeah, it's a good joke. It works.
Yeah, like, It is a little bit poking fun at Rainbow Dash, who's been an asshole to her this entire episode, so deserved. And it's one of those good jokes where, like, the person making the joke is making fun of themselves at the same time. So it's a very, like, it's a good bit of humor. It's a well-constructed joke. And I like that Fluttershy. I like that Fluttershy so fucking much.
Yeah. Start of the episode when, like, you know, she was trying to shout for help but no one was listening. I can vibe with that. There was a time when, you know, back when I wore regular shoes and shit, I was, I was in the mall, I was leaving, I took a wrong turn, and I stepped onto the down escalator. Basically, I absentmindedly tried to go up the down escalator, and what happened is the toe of my shoe got, like, sucked in and got caught in the escalator, like, pinched in the escalator. My actual toes were fine, it was just, like, the shoe. They got, like, caught in the escalator and, like, you know, stuck me. And I was stuck, and so I started shouting, like, help, help, but I couldn't raise my voice that much because, you know, I don't know, years of social pressure have made it so that I can't raise my voice in a store, right? Because every time when I was a kid, I was either, like, too quiet for anyone to hear me or loud enough that people would tell me to shut up. So, whatever. So, like, there were people, there were employees there, and I was, like, saying help, but they were too far away to hear me. I just couldn't bring myself to raise my goddamn voice until, like, some people, like, walked by and, like, asked, do I need help? I was like, yes, could you please, like, get the employees?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had that problem as a kid, too. Thankfully, some part of my brain broke, and I just hit a point of, like, if I don't raise my voice, I'm gonna have to wait for someone else to come along, and they're like, just like you're, because I've been in, not like I had my foot stuck in an escalator, but like I've been in some situations, and I have just learned that like the correct answer is, I will just fucking raise my voice because it'll make it. It is a spike of awkwardness at the start rather than prolonged awkwardness for the rest of the day for me. So I'd rather just get the awkwardness out of the way right off the bat.
And that's the one, because like I know it's not awkward, right? Like it's. It's not awkward at all to shout for help when you need help, but it's, you know.
But it feels awkward.
Yeah, or, you know, it's, you know, oh, you wouldn't want to make a scene, or, I don't even know what it is, it's bullshit, yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
I was using awkward for meaning that, but yeah, that's a better way of putting it, but yeah, like, yeah. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that was about it, just like the, yeah, no, I can see what you're getting at, Fluttershy, that's frustrating, I can relate to the Cassandra aspects of Fluttershy's character.
Yeah. Wait, like, pretty much any time we've had, like, a major Fluttershy scene, like the Manticore as well, the handling Gilda's party, the very start and very end of this episode, the much better episode we can see in, like, the framework of this one. Like, there is an extremely good Fluttershy character this show could have. Like,
it's a shame she doesn't do much for most of the episode that Twilight can write a weird bad letter about. Sometimes your friends are a burden and you have to put up with that. No. Come on, Twilight, come on.
Yeah, like, my mental image of Fluttershy before we got in here, like before we even talked about doing this podcast, so just like my memory of her was that I wanted her to be like, the character I wanted her to be was very much like a middle ground between, like, Applejack and how she is now. Like, Fluttershy seems competent in what she knows how to do. Like, clearly has, like, she does a lot of thinking. Clearly has a shitload of anxiety. Probably overthinks everything. And just never really voices it. And I want more of that character where, I guess it's kind of wanting, like, a bit of a more, like, neurodivergent character of someone who, like, just doesn't have the comfort level and, like, is very self-conscious and just doesn't think their ideas are right, even if they are. I want that character. I don't want the character that is just too quiet, no one ever hears them. And, like, that's the character flaw, is they just need to talk louder rather than, like, give us a Fluttershy that, like, has anxiety that is experienced in a way like people experience anxiety, not like a cartoon character experiences anxiety.
Yeah.
And
yeah, like I can see some things in Fluttershy I would empathize with that would, I think, mm-hmm. make me like her more, or at least resonate with her more. But it's difficult to sift those from the, geez, Fluttershy physically can't move because someone said dragon.
Yes. And this is, again, part of why, like, I stick so strongly to the theory that, like, the ponies that we have and, like, the plot of the episode they are currently in are not always very in line with each other. Because, like, the Fluttershy we see later is not anywhere near this level of scared of pretty much anything. Like, she's a bit of a coward. Yeah. She's a bit of a, scaredy pony. Yeah, absolutely. But, like, the extent of fear that we see her express towards everything this episode is never repeated again. Because this episode doesn't care about Fluttershy as the character. It cares about Fluttershy because she has the trait of being a scaredy pony.
For a lot of this, you could replace Fluttershy with, like, I don't know, a really heavy bag of dragon snacks or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah, a sentient bag of dragon candy.
She even gets carried most of the way up anyways, like...
Yeah, it's an episode that, like, I can see so much better in, and that's why I like it, is I like the better episode I can see. And, like, the Fluttershy, like the actual character Fluttershy peeking out in this episode, the rare times we see her, is some of my best, like, my favorite bits of Fluttershy as a character. Again, the writer has decided that Fluttershy doesn't get to be a person with agency for most of the story, and that sucks. Her expressions of agency are what I enjoy, and I think they're in character with her. I'm repeating myself a lot now. I'm sorry.
You have anything else to say, Dan?
No, I don't think so.
In that case, I have been Equestria's beloved Graceful Spark. You can find my writing, programs, podcast posts, everything else that's fit to plug at princess.software. Beans, where can we find you?
I'm the anxious pile of pony that runs the at horse isekai Twitter account. The chunk of my brain that is not locked in Equestria can also be found at Draco's Art. Again, one of these days I'll get around to setting up a proper website. I don't know. Come back in, like, maybe a year. I'll probably have put the spoons together for it then. We'll see.
Yeah, truly it was. We were hit by a horse truck and had easy guided to Equestria. See you next week. Mwah.
Goodbye, folks!